you can't possibly know all of these things at the beginning, how to make a good Instagram account, how to get followers, all of that stuff. So if you wait, what's going to happen? There's going to be a magic wand that's suddenly going to come along and install all that knowledge in you. I just don't think it happens like that.
Hi everybody, and welcome to episode 112 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
And we have lots in store for you today. Before we begin, I just wanted to send some good wishes to a dedicated listener, Libby Sims, who posted about us on Instagram. Libby's been poorly and she's had an operation and she sounds like she's recovering. So that's good news. But she says that during the recovery period from the surgery, we cheered her up. And we just so much thank you, Libby, and everybody who listens and who shares and tells other people about what we're doing. It really means so much to us. And we can see it in our stats because we're getting increasingly recognized and noticed. But Libby, we both wish you a really, really quick recovery, and I hope you're feeling much better already.
And it's lovely to think of you all listening as you're dog walking or painting or cooking supper and ignoring the children or whatever you're doing. All the places I know where I listen to podcasts, dozing off to sleep at night, waking up in the morning. So yeah, best wishes, Libby. We hope you're on the road to recovery really, really soon.
So our main topic this week was sparked by a listener question, but actually we've been meaning to tackle it for a while. So we're going to talk about Instagram. We both had a bad technology week, so this might not be the week to talk about Instagram, but we're going to tackle it anyway. But before we get to that, why don't you just catch us up with what you've been up to, Alice?
Well, I've been back in the studio and it just made me laugh that all this time I've spent thinking, not thinking, but just vaguely developing new ideas and things in sketchbooks, and a little bit like, I feel a little bit like herding cats or trying to direct a flow of water in a certain direction. And then, you know, when it rains and it floods, it just goes in the direction that it's going to go in anyway. And that's a little bit what it felt like, because I thought, well, I don't really want to start on these small ones. So I got four kind of medium-sized canvases up. And I promise you, my intention, I clearly have absolutely no resolve whatsoever. My intention was, let's not start on a white canvas. Let's pick some colours and do a different ground on each one so that you've got a base to begin with. And I couldn't even do that. As soon as I started putting the paint on, I was like, I want to put another color in here. I want to mix these two together as it goes. And then you step back and you just think, well, I've just started in the way that I always start. It's just made me laugh, but it was fun.
Well, it's good that you're back. So you say the intentions are gone, but are they gone completely, or do you think this is going to follow on from the sketchbook work you're doing, or are you just seeing what happens?
I think it will come back, and I think what it was is that I don't really start with a specific visual reference, so there is an instinctive, you know, for me it does get pulled back to landscape, and I've got another four that I'll start that size, and I think maybe now I've sort of kind of like broken the skin on that, I suspect that the next ones will be different, and then there'll be a to and fro between them. So but equally, I've said before, I don't mind if some come out more landscapey because that's how they want to be, that's fine. But I don't want to stay in that zone with them, so we'll see what comes next. But
being back in the routine of being in the studio, because you've been busy with other things for quite a while, are you getting back into a swing now?
Well, you know, it helps, doesn't it? Children go back to school, and actually yesterday I was on my own in the house, and that's like the first time I have been on my own in the house for a year.
Everyone listening's going, "Ooh, what's that like?"
I know, and it was just like, okay, this is it, just the feeling, it just felt so different. And it was great. And that day I went to the studio, I was there, came out, it was getting dusk, and I was like, this is what it should be. So I'm going to try and stick to that on my painting days. Well, it's good.
As usual,
you've had an exciting week.
I have. And as usual, we've gone in opposite directions because for very boring reasons, the water was turned off in my studio for a few days, so couldn't really do anything. And but fortunately, it coincided with me getting the PDF proof of my book, which I've put on Instagram, so lots of people have seen that I've got that. So they don't send books anymore for you to look at this early stage. They send a PDF and you go through that. Took a little bit of getting used to because you've got to visualize it then as a book. And when I first got it, I thought, oh no, nothing's in the right place. Like this doesn't, the pictures don't make sense with the words. It just, it freaked me out a little bit. And then I realized I've done this thing, which I always do, which is have a clear vision in my own mind of what everything's for. I've taken all these pictures, I've done all this stuff, I've organized them into folders, I've given them to you. Now you should be able to psychically understand what it is that you're supposed to do with them. And of course, this person who I've never met, never worked with, didn't know what to do with them. So she had arranged the images. So they'd asked me to make little stickies in Adobe Acrobat and make notes what I wanted to change. But I thought, oh no, so it's too much. So I wrote to her and said, is there any way I could just get the file and I could move things around? And she's kindly sent it to me. I thought she might say no, but she gave it to me. So with absolutely no idea what I'm doing in InDesign, I cracked on with moving things around. And you know those days you have where you're going, okay, where did that just go? And why has that happened? What's going on? But I've managed to move everything around. And just it, as I had it in my mind, it actually makes sense when I see it laid out. And the images are now in the right place and it kind of flows. And it was a difficult, it's a difficult book to arrange because I don't want to reveal the paintings until the end of the story. And so I have to have, and it's an art book, so it needs images all the way through. So that was my challenge, but I'm really excited now. I've got a little bit more editing to do on the images, send it back to them and then get another copy to review. And it looks nice.
It does.
There's a few things I want to, I'm not happy with the title and I'm not happy with the cover. Just keep it to ourselves. But I can,
that's
I know
important.
Yes. And I know I can change that. That's up to me to push back on that. But yeah, it looks beautifully done and very clearly professional and way more than I could ever have done on my own if I'd gone into Blurb and tried to make that book.
So
I'm quite thrilled with it. And it's, and they haven't asked me to rewrite anything. So, you know, all those rewrites I did were actually worth all that time working on it. So yeah, it's very, it's exciting.
Just a little tip, because when you say they send it to you as a PDF, make sure that you print it out at actual size, because the book's bigger than A4, isn't it? So if
it's smaller.
Oh, is
it's bigger across, actually, it's square. I haven't printed it.
Yeah, well, make just
6 pages. I'm not printing it out.
But just a couple of pages, make sure you print them out at actual printed size, just to check that the typeface size is the way you want it to be.
Okay.
Okay. Because it's funny on screen. We see things differently on screen.
Yeah, well, I certainly know this. If anybody else has experienced this, when you create images for print, they look a bit too vivid on the screen. And there's all these adjustments that happen back and forth. And when I got the proofs from my printer, the proofs are perfect color match, but the images that he sent me, the files, I'm like, oh, but they're too bright. But when I saw the proofs, oh no, they're right. Cause what you see on a computer screen is not what you see.
This is backlit
print. So yeah, it's all learning, but anyway, very exciting.
Very exciting.
It's so still months until it comes out.
So. It made me so jealous, I have to say. When it, you know what it was? It was that layout of that page with the part of the image and the different typography kind of blocked together. And I was just like, oh.
Well, you see, you would know how to do this for yourself if you wanted to. You could design a whole book for yourself. That's just not something I could do. But what I can do is quickly learn the technology to edit something.
Yeah. But that's much better. Someone else has done it and you make the changes. Yeah. I think the program we used to use is dead and defunct now.
Oh, yeah, this is in InDesign.
It existed, but everybody used to use something called Quark Express.
Oh, I remember that. I've heard of it. I never used it, but yeah. So on to our main topic, which we were discussing how we should approach this topic. But we'd initially had a question that sparked the idea from Claire, who was asking, when do you start trying to get a following on Instagram? And she says she's a beginner. She'd like to sell one day. She understands the need to start getting known. But if she starts now while she's still learning, does that hurt future sales if someone looks back and says, ooh, look at those early attempts? Do you wait until you're better? And that was Claire's initial question. And then we thought we could take that question and turn it into kind of a broader discussion about approaching Instagram and how to think about it and how to use it. But that first question of Claire's, what would you say to that, Alice? Do you start or do you wait until you're good, in inverted commas, before you start?
Nah, never wait till you're good, because you'll never wait. You just never get onto doing anything. Start now. Learn it as you go. Always. Always, always, always start now and learn it as you go, because it's that making those beginning stages. Firstly, I think it's just it's a commitment that you're doing it and you're going to follow it through and see where it leads to. You can't possibly know all of these things at the beginning, how to make a good Instagram account, how to get followers, all of that stuff. So if you wait, what's going to happen? There's going to be a magic wand that's suddenly going to come along and install all that knowledge in you. I just don't think it happens like that. You know, before we started, we were talking about other tech things that we've been dealing with this week. And part of that is because we didn't know how to do things at the beginning, and now it's ready to develop. And I just think it's always like that. It doesn't matter what you're talking about, what stage you're at, start now and learn as you go along. The one thing that I think is really important to do at the beginning, though, is to have a differentiation between an Instagram account that you use personally and one that you're going to use in business terms for your art. And I think a lot of people at the beginning, they've got an Instagram account that is their personal one, and it mixes. You know, you have a mix of images on there, personal ones, family ones, art-based ones. And that's the one thing that I think you really need to do early on, is have two accounts, separate them out, and have one that has a clear focus on your work.
Or decide, as I did, that because mine, if you go all the way back, it is like that. It's mixed up. And then I just decided I'm not bothered about using it for personal at all. So from now on, it's just my art account. Yeah. And then I switched it to a business, which we'll talk about. But I agree with you that I don't mind mixed up personal things if they relate to the art. So, for example, in my feed, I'll sometimes post landscape photos and talk about it as the inspiration. But I wouldn't post a photo of Riley and say, that's my dog, everybody, not my husband. But I wouldn't post a photo of him and say, look how cute Riley looks in his, you know, in his, well, whatever. He didn't wear any clothes. You know what I mean? I
wouldn't or your sister's birthday lunch, if we were allowed to have those kind
of
things.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that, because some people think that's great, though. Some people think you should show all that side of you. But when I go to another artist's Instagram feed, I don't want to see that stuff. I'm going because I like your art. I don't care about your family. Not to be rude, but I really don't. I'm not interested. And likewise, I presume the people who love you and want to know about your family and don't particularly want to keep seeing art stuff necessarily.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the other thing is this distinction between it being a public and a private one. Like, you know, usually if you've got a personal Instagram account, it's private, you know, so you only let your friends who really know you in real life follow you. And, you know, I've certainly had artists who've said, nobody's following me on Instagram, and you go to their account and it's private. It's like, well, I'm not going to ask, you know, you've got to open the doors and let us in.
Because we don't know if we want to follow you until we can see.
And I would never request, would you? Have you ever requested to join a private Instagram account?
Only when it was a friend, yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
Not an artist, because I think I might not want to follow you. I can't see what you do until.
So
that's so important, because think about how you use it. You personally, you see somebody comment, you click to look at their feed, and then you decide if it looks interesting or not. And what you see, maybe people don't realize when they set it to private, But what other people see is just your profile picture and then a button that says something about it's private, click here to follow. So you can't tell anything about that person.
No.
So yeah, that drives me nuts. Please don't do that.
So I think that decision early on is really important. But the whole thing about what you post, I think evolves and you learn as you go on. I mean, there's various things that you need to consider, improve, understand about, you know, how you take your photography, how you mix the images up, how you talk about the posts that you do to create engagement, all of those kind of things you can learn, but you don't need to know it all at the beginning. I had not a clue even what a hashtag was when I first started using Instagram.
No, and I to Claire's point, I posted some paintings which I look at now and think, oh, you know, why did I think that was worth posting? But I don't mind if somebody scrolls all the way back and sees that. It doesn't make me feel like I'm any less good now.
No. What I have done at a couple of points is gone back and either deleted or archived certain posts. So you just, if there's one that feels really off, so say you have posted a picture of your dog having its birthday, you know, you can archive that or remove it just from your, that will just remove it from your feed, but it will still stay in your back end. So you can reinstall it if you want to, if you've done that. Yeah, but I think because one of the stage of people deciding whether or not to follow you is how all your images look together in that grid. If you've got some that are out or you've put two that are together that really don't work very well, I've been back and done a little bit of housekeeping
in that. You're really keen on your grid and how it looks.
Yeah, not very often, but I think at the beginning it can make a big difference.
Yeah, especially if people don't have any other reason to follow you.
Yeah.
Now there's a thing though. So speaking of how our grids look, and I'm getting out of order, but since we brought it up, there are some people whose grid is so perfectly curated that it instantly turns me off. And yeah. I don't know if this is personal, because, well, it clearly is personal because these people have massive followings.
Yeah.
But like if I come to your feed and everything has the same filter and the same color scheme and the same, you know, but and you holding your baby with a soft light coming in through a window and then you having your breakfast in front of your canvas, but it's all beautiful and you've got a little rose in a jar. It just it just makes me go crazy. So I want to see like the messy real artist life and work in progress and messy studio. And I don't mind if it looks nice in the way it's arranged, the grid, but I really, but like I said, that must be personal because these people build up huge followings.
It surprises me too, because I think when things become too regular, when they become too, like you say, branded like that, you're not seeing anything new. Doesn't it get boring as a follower when it's just the same kind of image over and over? And I, you know, Instagram is interesting because it's a very particular mix of the image, which is eye-catching, and also what you say in your description. And I think this is something that I've watched my daughter use Instagram, and she uses Instagram differently than the way I use Instagram, absolutely without a doubt. She spends a lot more time not necessarily on people she follows, swiping very quickly. It's very, very, very instant hit. I don't. I spend more time reading, engaging. For me, it's part of a creative prompt system, helps me understand my work better. That's what I look to from other people. So if I go onto somebody's account and it's all too curated, I kind of feel like it's not going to be interesting because it's too systematized, it's too regular. Yeah. I think it's a difficult balance between that and an account that visually looks quite disruptive and disorderly.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I think mine does look quite disruptive and disorderly, to be honest. I never have got the knack of creating space around things. But then I feel like, well, that's me. That's just me. And so I'm fine with that. I wouldn't post a series of paintings I didn't like. Yeah. So I wouldn't make, you know, put a series of ugly paintings, and I wouldn't, but I just can't be bothered. trying to work out how it looks, but I do spend an awful lot of time thinking about what I say and sharing things that I think will be interesting. I don't always get that right. Sometimes it's not interesting, but sharing things, not just for self-promotion, but that I think other people will find interesting. Or, you know, like, I'm having such a bad day, everything's gone wrong, I've just made a mess. That's actually helpful for other people to read, because they have those days too. Those kind of more vulnerable posts. I don't mean I've had a bad day in my life. I mean, you know, things haven't gone well painting wise. I think I spend a lot more time kind of thinking about what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Although I try, like I said, I try not to post ugly photos. I just think my feed looks like, like a bomb's gone off. But then that's what my life looks like. That's what my studio looks like. That's what my paintings look like. So that's it.
And it's a different thing, of course, when people are following you already, they're not seeing your grid. They're seeing individual posts come through. So there's that two stages of it.
And there's a certain point you get to, and this has happened for me now, happened at about 15,000 followers, where it's like a ball rolling down a hill. So I am picking up steam and picking up follows from people mentioning me or sharing stories or, you know, the podcast, other things I do. And so I'm gaining followers all the time, but that doesn't happen at the beginning. So that's where what you're saying is so important, because at the beginning, people don't know any of that about you. And so they have to judge on what they can see, which is great.
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussion recently about hashtags and whether hashtags still work or not. And, you know, this is a whole area. And the big problem, this is the struggle with Instagram that I have, is I think that we are looking to Instagram to be like a single solution for how we get our work out there in the world. And it's one part of that whole network that you need to have, and it all needs to work together really like a net and feed in. If you build everything on Instagram and make it all about Instagram followers, you will drive yourself insane. And if something goes wrong with Instagram or changes it, or, you know, they're changing all the time. We know they're changing all the time. Facebook changes all the time. Instagram changes all the time. You know, this mysterious, not mysterious algorithm, who knows? You know, don't put all your eggs in the Instagram basket. And it's difficult because it's a place that we like to be. So, you know, it's much easier for me to like and follow you on Instagram than it is for me to come over and join your mailing list. But if something goes wrong with Instagram, I know perfectly well there are people I follow, I've engaged with their posts, I don't see them. It doesn't show me. So you do also need to be thinking about what's your backup as well. Are you also leading people to? That's really important. And I don't think it's too early to ever start that as well. People say, well, nobody's interested. Like, my first email went out to, what, 35, 40 people? Not a lot.
Yeah.
But you've got to start. You know, you've got to begin and get this snowball going. But the frustration with Instagram is that there are so many variables.
Yeah.
Every single post you do, the image, the description, what hashtags, was it one of those hashtags that really worked? Did somebody share it? Did it just, sometimes it just hits a run in the explore and you just kind of get more. It used to be getting a post in that top 9 grid, but that was older days.
One thing I have found by looking at it and kind of trying to study what happens is that when I do a post and then forget about it for an hour or two and then come back to check replies, the hashtags, it doesn't pick up steam on hashtags. So in other words, it's not being shown on those hashtags in the same way. If I keep my phone by me and I answer the first person immediately and heart the first few comments, I seem to start picking up steam on hashtags. And this is anecdotal, not scientific, so nobody hold me to this, but I'm working with it at the moment, just testing it out. It's almost like Instagram's checking to see if you're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
instantly. And if you are, they'll start to reward you by dripping it out to more people. Mm-hmm. But those times when I've waited a couple of hours to answer, I notice it only ever seems to get shown to my existing followers.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I can't often see a rhyme or reason to it. There was a stage where I was, you know, wasn't getting a lot of reach through hashtags or reaching new people. And then the last few posts, you know, 33% new audience, you know. But the bizarre thing that I see is, and then it says, you know, number of follows from this post. So you've reached a lot of new people. It says the number of follows is, I can't remember the number, but low, you know, almost like single figures low. And yet I can go to who's followed me today and it's 10 times higher than that. Well, why have they followed me today if it's not from that post or not from Explore? It's like, you know, these things don't line up. I just can't get my head around that. So this is why I just think
makes sense to me. Yeah.
It's interesting sometimes to look in on these. And I think what is worth doing is you generally have an understanding as you learn to do it about what kind of posts work well for you. You know, big paintings in the studio kind of work well. Sketchbook photos kind of work well. I know that. But that's also not the only reason to be posting. So
for me as well, little rants work well.
Yeah.
Like if I have a little rant about something, that'll go like crazy. So, but I just don't want to be ranting every... I did one about people who dress to match their paintings and have these perfectly curated feeds. And that one went crazy. Everybody commented on that one. Everybody had an opinion and it really worked.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? If you read something and you're like, yeah, I think that too, or no, I really disagree with you, that's when you comment. And that's really what it rewards. It, you know, it wants Instagram to be an engaging place. So if you get that conversation going, if you get people sharing, if people save it, all of those things feed in too. But, you know, that's how many different variables have we got already? 8-9 different variables on every post.
I know. I think, though, it does boil down to what you just said is the key thing on all these platforms. It's basically how much value are you offering other people? Because YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, they all want you to stay on their platform. They all want to make it the best experience they can for the people using it. And they find their own ways to judge that. But it basically comes down to if people are really enjoying what you're posting, even if it's on a small scale, at first it's just your friends and family, if they're enjoying and responding to that by showing they enjoy it in some way or another, by liking, by sharing, by whatever, commenting, then you will start to do better and better. And if you're boring people, that will show up in you not doing better. So I find it easier to think about it on that bigger scale. And then I get people saying, yeah, but how can I add value if I, you know, I'm just an artist. So many things that you can share as an artist that people want to know about. So many things. Just your daily life is fascinating to the group of people who love to buy art. The way you work, the way you think, the way you use your paint, everything is of interest to people who find that interesting. It's like any little, you know, like a group of men can sit and discuss cricket all day and never get bored. It's like we can dive into the details of what we love. So just sharing interesting things about, We tend to think we're boring, so no one will want to know that, but they will.
Yeah, I think there's two things. One is that we tend to look at people who've got big followings and think, I'm not reaching so much compared to those people. Always look at it in relationship to what your following is. So in terms of, you know, look at it as terms of a percentage. So of your followers, how many are engaging with you? But the thing that really tripped me up really was this whole idea of, oh, we'll make it interesting for your audience. I don't know what's interesting for my audience. You don't know what's interesting until you try it and you start doing it. And I think if you worry about that too much at the beginning, what happens is you worry about what you're posting to the point that you don't post often enough to find out what is going to hit the mark or not. So I think posting regularly... and learning what works.
I kind of want to rephrase what I said, because that's the wrong interpretation. Oh, it's not what I meant. So when people post a painting and they just put latest painting, 30 inches by 30 inches, you know, blah, blah, and then they go, that's boring.
Yeah.
But if you said latest painting, you know, been working on it for 3 months, thought I'd lost it, it came back, just finished it today, phew, what a relief, that's more interesting. If you say, I thought I'd lost it because at one point I put this green on and oh my gosh, it just went horrible. And then the way I brought it back was to do this. Now it's getting more and more interesting. So all I'm saying is don't not to sit and try and think, I wonder what people will want to know. Yeah. But just to think people will want to know stuff. So just tell them stuff. And they'll pick which bits they find boring. But what they will find boring is when you don't say anything, because it's just, we think, oh, it's a visual platform. But like you said, when you come on to engage, you're looking for conversation and you're looking for interesting things. Mm. You're not just looking to see a painting.
And it is a conversation. I think that's the thing to remember. Yeah. You know, it is social media. It is a conversation. So think of it like an introduction at a party, or you're sitting down next to somebody, or you go to whatever it is, a school meeting, or you don't just announce yourself with bare facts and then full stop. That doesn't give anybody else anything to respond to. I think that's the biggest thing. Give other people something to respond to. Like you say, a post that you've got an opinion on. If it's a strong opinion, people are going to agree with you or disagree with you. Like that's the easiest way in, is give somebody something really easy that they can agree with or disagree with. Because when people have got an opinion on something, they like to share it.
Yeah, but keep it about art. So don't do like, oh, here's my political opinions and blah, 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 if you want your account to be about art, because that's just going to turn off a whole bunch of people.
Okay, what about all the extras though, briefly? Because I think that's another thing that gets people is, oh, but I should be doing reels, carousels, IGTV, what the heck are guides? Yeah. All of these extra little bits on Instagram. I've dipped my toes into IGTV. I know you're doing it a lot more now because you're doing your videos that are going from YouTube on more regularly. IGTV is a bit longer. Lives is a whole other thing. It can really help, but you need to have a slightly longer period with lives to give people the chance to come in and join. Reels are short, they're creative, they're fun. People swipe through them pretty quickly. Guides is a collection of previous posts. I just think if you're interested in one of these, if you want to just try a little bit, but then pick one thing to concentrate on, it's more important that I think that you get what is going on in your grid, your conversation, your descriptions, that kind of element, that your photography is good. Get the basics working well before you start worry about adding IGTV and guides and things. But you know, maybe I'm wrong. I think, you know, some people, if you all focus on IGTV and you really went in on IGTV, that could be huge potential for growth. But it again, it's this commitment thing, isn't it? You've really got to pick one thing and go for it.
I noticed actually Trudy Foggo is currently doing a series, like a daily videos on IGTV. I think it's part of the 100 Day Project. And I'll link to her Instagram in the show notes. But I've been watching her IGTV videos and she just seems to be doing whatever she feels like covering that day.
Yep.
And I bet that's building up a lot of engagement. But like you say, she's really gone all in on it for this period of time.
Yeah.
So I know there's going to be a new video every day to look at, and they're short and they're interesting. What do you think about when you were listing off those things? I was thinking that the one thing I would do next after I got used to posting, before I went into any of the others, is stories.
I love a story.
I think I would go into stories because it's a way to deepen your connection with people who've chosen to follow you. And they're quite easy. I mean, I'm very, very basic with my stories. You're much more advanced than me because I've never looked at how to do it. I've just done the very basics. So you can actually make it so simple.
Stories are, I think the thing with stories is, if you, and where they're quite good is if you do feel a little bit scared of commitment, because they disappear. So it does give you a place to experiment and practice. The photography doesn't, you know, they stay around for 24 hours unless you save them to your highlights. So they're a place to have fun. They can be a bit more variable. You can share other people's posts. So you can share more of that other side of you, that personal side of you. They can be a little bit more random. Some people are very strategic with stories and they do a lot of, you know, a real sequence, and that's what it is. And you space it throughout the day, which is a really good idea to do, because if you have an audience that is in different time zones, rather than posting all your stories in a row, four of them at 10 o'clock in the morning, if you do something that's sequential. So a really good idea could be every so often you could do a, you know, day in my life, and you do morning, studio, pick a good day, pick a day when you're doing something interesting.
Yeah.
not just a really dull day.
Doing my accounts.
Regular times throughout the day. And because if somebody sees one story, maybe they'll swipe back and they'll see the previous ones that are still there from that 24-hour period. So there's a degree of trial and error until you find what you like. I like posting stories. My stories don't have as much reach as my grid posts do, but I post stories because I like them.
Yeah, I like them because they really engage. Like I often use my walks with Riley because it relates to my inspiration. Plus people like it. And I tell Riley he's an Instagram influencer now because he's got fans all over the world. So if I want to, like, he could start selling dog treats or something. But they, you know, I get messages from those stories from people who follow me, and it's just more engaging and more conversation, and people get to know. So if you've got inspiration behind what you do, I think it's a nice way to share that. But I love that idea of a day in. I like just seeing, I like seeing behind the scenes of the people I'm interested in. So that's why I like stories, because they put things on there that they don't put in the grid that they want to look nice. And you just get to learn a bit more. So, and they're really simple. If you want to just do the basics, you can just look on YouTube, find how to do Instagram stories for a beginner, and just do the very basics and then learn bits as you go.
Yeah, Reels, there are lots of fiddly things that you can do in Reels with, like cutting clips, and it can get a little bit fiddly and pinchy with your fingers. So I would definitely start with stories before Reels if you want to start doing video.
And IGTV is the way I'm using it. Is just to upload video that I've made. So it's a pre-made video. I upload it there. I write a description. The nice thing about IGTV is you can put links in, which you can't do in an Instagram post. Uses hashtags just the same way. And you can choose to either have it appear in your feed or not, or in your grid or not. So you don't have to have the video there if you don't want it there. So they're a next step up, fairly simple, whereas I find Reels quite complicated. That's really because I haven't looked at them, I suppose. But like you say, it's very fiddly. And I just don't feel like there's enough benefit for me to spend that time on them.
But I think this is the core thing that it goes back to, is for me, is that there is a lot available to you. And while you kind of, we grumble about it, like, oh, all the things and they've changed it, there is a lot available. You don't have to use all of it. It all should come from, you know, what you're doing in your work and what you're enjoying and what you're finding inspiring. When you're doing that, you will not be stuck for ideas. You won't be short of posts. You can create a kind of image library. You know, if you're having a really good day, take more than one photograph, you know, so you've got some sort of stored up. This feeling of you are the boss of Instagram. Don't let Instagram be the boss of you. So don't start feeling anxious, like you should be doing all of these things as well. I just really don't believe that to be the case. It's got to come from. So if you're not interested in doing Reels, don't do Reels.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. And I haven't done a guide.
No, I don't even, I've heard of them, but I haven't even looked at it.
Like, just another thing.
Yeah, I've got enough. But for somebody, it might be the perfect thing. So like you said, everybody's just got to figure out what's the thing that's going to help them do whatever it is they want to do on Instagram. And I think that's a key point we haven't mentioned is you won't know this at the beginning necessarily, but you probably do. Keep in mind what's the end goal. So in Claire's case, she says, I'm a beginner, but I would like to sell one day. So her aim for doing this is to sell work one day. And so just keeping that in mind helps you to think about what you might want to post and what you might want to share. Whereas if your aim is to, for example, start teaching, you might want to share completely different stuff. I share quite a lot of stuff which is purely related to helping other artists because I want to bring in other artists and teach them. If you don't want to do that, then you could waste a lot of time doing demo videos of things, showing someone how to use oil pastels when you don't ever want to teach someone how to use oil pastels. You might make the same video, but with a different, slightly different slant, where you're keeping in mind, how can I let people know what makes my process interesting or my approach interesting or my paintings valuable by sharing my process? Do you see what I mean? There's a difference in how you're sharing it.
Yeah. Definitely. And the other thing that I think is probably just worth touching on, and you alluded to it earlier, this thing about being around when you post is really important. And I personally, and again, I know that there's discussion about this, and I know that people use it, you know, and they use, you know, Planoly and Later and all of these things to post. I just feel that, and Instagram allows those to connect. That's okay, but you've still got to be active. It's not kind of post and run. So if you've got a schedule, the thing is, if you've got a scheduled post and it's going out and you're busy doing something else, you're not there. You're not kind of keeping an eye on it in the first 15 minutes after you post because you're already commenting on other people's. And it's not a two-way thing then. So I just always believe very strongly that, you know, do it. I just do it myself. As and when I feel like it.
Yeah, I do too. As and when I feel like it, as and when I can squeeze it in.
Yeah. I mean, if you're stuck for ideas, you know, you can have a list of ideas so that you've got a prompt, you've got something to choose from. If you're working strategically towards an event, yes, you might want to plan that out a little bit, but not all the time. We don't need to sit down and work out a month ahead of time what you're going to be posting every third day. To me, that just feels like hard work, and I don't want Instagram to feel like hard work. It's part of my creative portfolio, and if I carry on thinking about it like that, just like we were talking about sketchbooks last week, it's about the way in which you think about it becomes either an irritation or just something that you do, and what comes of it comes of it. So,
and whatever you put on there is marketing.
Yeah.
Even when you're not thinking, oh, I've got my marketing head on. So if you keep it light and easy and fun, you're also marketing. Sometimes I think people think marketing is this big frightening thing, but marketing is just communicating what you're up to and what you do. And Instagram is a fabulous way to do that in a really natural way and make friends while you're doing it. Make friends and influence people. Wasn't that a book? How to make friends and influence people on Instagram.
Anything techie, like if you're talking about reels, you know, how do I make a reel? Google YouTube is your answer. You know, there are, and it's there. There's an answer there. There's somebody who's done it and they've showed you all the things and all the pinchy things and how to make it look like a this photo and swipe. I just think you have to be a little bit careful about getting sucked into all the things and all the gadgetry and all the little techie tips, how to. I'm not convinced that those are the things that make the difference. I think, you know, those can be quite a big time suck. You keep it basic, keep it honest, keep it fun, keep it light.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
So we're at that part of the show where we talk about what's inspired us or what we've enjoyed this week. So what's yours been, Alice?
I had a really nice personal session with somebody and we were working out words, really playing with words to describe your art. And this was for a particular outcome that she needed. And we've been doing quite a lot on this in the membership at the moment, like, you know, working on your bio and your artist statement. And I love this link up, this combination between words. It comes in when we're titling. I think it's really important when we're understanding our work. I just like the fact that it's this ongoing development. But she shared with me this tool called WordHippo, wordhippo.com. And it's a thesaurus, but it also seems to come up with phrases and things too. So it kind of spiders out a little bit from, oh. Yeah. So that's fun. So have a play on WordHippo.
Oh, that's it. So you could come up with titles by using that then. Interesting.
So that's a nice little techie tool that you can go and have a dig into. What about you?
Well, I couldn't choose, so I'm doing two things this week.
All right, greedy.
Yeah, I'm greedy. And I make the rules anyway because I'm in charge this week. So yesterday I had a chat with an artist whose name is going to defeat me to say this name, but luckily she has a really easy to follow website. So her name is Bibi Gignale. I'm sure I've said that wrong, but her website is bibiart.com because she's a smart marketer. And I was interviewing her for my membership group, and but we were having a chat about collage, and I said, it's hard to find good collage materials. Like, I dream of billboard posters and things, but living where I do, they don't just fall down in the country lane. And she said, well, you've got this like really big following. Why don't you ask people to send you interesting bits of stuff from their houses? People would send you packages of things. And I thought, why have I never thought of that before? Why have I never thought to ask people? So if you have some really interesting bits and pieces that you might want to send me an email and via my website at louisefletcherart.com, and I will happily give you my address. But I just loved that sometimes you're talking to someone else and they say something and you're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of obvious. Why didn't I think of that? So that was the first thing, was that idea was really cool. The second thing is in my stream of constantly recommending podcasts, which I do every week, and people must think, does she do nothing but listen to podcasts? But basically, yeah, I don't really watch telly. I don't listen to the radio. And I listen to podcasts when I'm painting, when I'm driving, when I'm walking. And the one that I'm really enjoying at the moment is not an art-related podcast at all. It's called Heavyweight, which I thought was about boxing, but it isn't. It's about carrying a heavy weight. And it's kind of, it's about the moment that your life changes and then going back and trying to fix it. So mm-hmm. People tell their stories to this guy and he helps them fix problems. And the one I recommend getting started with, I think it's in season one. I think he's got four seasons now. It's either season one or season two, and it's called Joey. And it's an episode about a kid who has got social anxiety. And he has a really bad day where he is accused of stealing some pizza, even though he didn't steal some pizza. And then his flatmates throw him out of the flat for being antisocial. And he never talks to anyone or explains the situation. He just lets all this happen to him. And then a few years later, he gets help in trying to explain what had happened. But that's the kind of story they have. Or it can be people looking for long lost relatives, or they've had a big family fallout. But it's never tacky or sentimental or invasive. It's really humorous and it's just lovely. And I always cry by the end. So I recommend Heavyweight, and it's sounds on good. Any of your podcast platforms.
Oh, that sounds good.
I've just asked Alice, what do we want people to do this week? Obviously, we want you to come and follow us on Instagram, since that's the entire point of this conversation. But I think if you come over, and if you don't already follow us, if you come over and have a look at our accounts, you'll see the different ways that we both use it. Some things we do the same, some things we do differently. But I think it could give you some ideas of ways that you might approach it too. So do come over, hit follow or whatever it is you hit on Instagram, and also say hi to us in the comments on any of our posts.
It's a really interesting thing to do with anybody else's feed that you like, is scroll back. Like, you can do that analysis on your feed, but go back through somebody else's feed. Like, if you go way back through mine, you'll see I did things where I was a little bit more conscious about color shifting and it was fun. You know, you'll also see on mine that there are some posts that kind of hit it with the number of likes, and there are some that don't. Mm-hmm. And if that makes you feel better about some of the ones on yours that don't, that's fantastic. I haven't been posted, to be honest, the last however many months, I haven't been posting that regularly on Instagram compared to how I used to. So, you know, it's really interesting to look at the accounts of the people that you like and follow, see how it's changed. You know, you don't have to have it all nailed.
Everybody, we will see you next week. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye-bye. So yeah, this person in this group said to me, when you talk about technical stuff, he said, you get all jittery. And I said, yeah, because that just, it freaks me out.
You know, when I talked to Bibi, and I'm sure she won't mind me saying this, she said that you were a tech wizard and that you had like helped her navigate through when she was putting her online course together. So tech wizard. So just, you know, give yourself a bit of a break if some of the stuff is more complicated.
Tech wizard with a couple of things that are significant blocks that I still have to get over.
Yeah, there's always more though, isn't there? There's always more. Sometimes, don't you just feel like, ugh, not one more thing. That was what I felt about guides on Instagram.
Yeah.
Go away. Let me live my life. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And no, it's all good stuff. That's the thing. It's all good stuff. So I saw that on Mac, you know, on a Mac where they give you the drop down box for do the update now, do it later this week, do it tomorrow. And I saw a graphic online and the last one said, please go away and let me live my life.
That's what mine is. I've been telling mine that for about a year and a half.
I know.
at least. Remind me tomorrow. It's like it's the most optimistic reminder ever, because like tomorrow is going to be
You're not going to do it.